It's Monday, and it's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. It's Monday morning. That means time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Welcome back to the microphone.
Thank you. It's really good to be back.
Sandy and I gather around the microphone each Monday for the purpose of going a little deeper into Scripture, deepening our devotion and relationship with a living God, because the rest of the week we talk about how people who are committed to this growing relationship with God go out in the world and live their lives.
Mm-hmm. The church in action and why we are the church in action.
So we invite your friends, if you haven't been part of any of our Chasing the Word series before, every Monday we put up a study guide along with notes on the broadcast. So if you're interested in following along with us or reading into the Scriptures more like we've been doing, please do so. Just go to CompassionRadio.com and you'll see a link to a study guide for each one of the chapters, including this new version of the Gospel of John that we've been studying from, which we're calling the Dynamic Gospel, and for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I like it because it's a more contemporary English version, more common language than we're used to reading when we read Scripture.
So we've been developing it for a number of years, too, and not just to sound contemporary. The idea was to get behind the personality of the author, as well as the fact that he, John, is being a biographer of Jesus himself. He does something with a relationship on paper, on papyrus maybe back 2,000 years ago, that brings Jesus to us in a way that none of the other Gospels quite does.
Well, we talked about how John calls himself in this version of the Gospels the beloved disciple.
The best friend.
Yeah. And we talked about how he and Jesus seemed to have a special relationship as they walked on earth, even to the point that Jesus entrusts John with the care of his mother after his passing. And we know from Scripture that Jesus had other brothers and sisters alive. We know that James was one of them, who also wrote the book of James. It's interesting to me how the relationship was that close that Jesus would say, I want you to take care of my mother instead of my own siblings.
It's kind of a formal blessing, too. Mm-hmm. From the cross itself, he says, you know, behold your mother, behold your son, to the two of them. He's making a proclamation on a moral and a covenant level to fill her heart in some way with the loss he knows she's going through because of what he's doing on the cross. And you need somebody who understands what's going on the cross to really step in and, for lack of a better term, fill his shoes for his mother in the years to come.
Okay, so we're getting ahead of ourselves with the book of John, which is easy to do because there's so much here to look at.
Another quick side note, every time you and I decide on a series, you feel like God's saying, go there for a while, camp on this. It seemed like the rest of the world gets involved too. Radio broadcasters, pastors, I've learned of like three or four who have said, we're going to spend this year camped on the book of John.
Yeah.
I was like, great. It's not a competition for me. It's kind of an affirmation that the Spirit says, you know, what John has to say, the way he has to say it, is something the church really, really needs, especially in this year.
Exactly.
So let's jump into the translation you've been reading from. We're going to read John chapter 1, starting at verse 19 to 28 in this episode.
From the Holman Christian Standard. This little section that I'm going to read is kind of like John the Baptist's testimony and where he comes from. This is John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, who are you? He did not refuse to answer, but he declared, I am not the Messiah. What then? They asked him, are you Elijah? I am not, he said. Are you the prophet? No, he answered. Who are you then? They asked. We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What can you tell us about yourself? This is what John told them. I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, just as Isaiah the prophet said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked him, why then do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet? I baptize with water, John answered them. Someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. All of this happened in Bethany, which is across the Jordan where John was baptizing.
Okay, another bag of mysteries. John the Baptist himself now is speaking in what seems to be riddles. When this investigative team gets sent out by the Sanhedrin, which was kind of the religious government back in Jerusalem, they're peppering John the Baptist with questions because he is the big guy on the scene. Remember, this is before Jesus gets revealed. John the Apostle is telling the story of the one who set the stage that Jesus entered at the right time. In some ways, John the Baptist is kind of like the opening act of the big show.
Sure.
And they're related, of course. We know that Elizabeth and Mary were pregnant at the same time, that John the Baptist probably grew up and knew Jesus as a young man, and then went off to join his Essene denomination, the group that trained him up to be the prophet that he was. And the same group probably had a lot of relations with the family that Jesus comes from. Jesus himself may have spent time in the desert. The place where we now hear about the Dead Sea Scrolls appearing, similar people over the course of those centuries were doing the kind of training in the scriptures that John the Baptist and probably Jesus learned from. So when we hear about those discoveries, I'm fascinated about those caves even more than about the scrolls they find, because I think that's probably the kind of places that Jesus escaped to and learned in while he was formulating his identity, understanding what his calling was and who his true father was.
Well, we read in here that the Jews from Jerusalem, we feel like that's the Pharisees, that's the leading group of people within the Jewish culture there.
Well, the Sadducees were the actual ruling bunch. They actually had control of the temple, had the keys to it. And the Pharisees opposed them on theological terms, but they were the ones that ran what we would consider the evangelicals of the time. Okay. They were the fundamentalists. And the Sadducees were more politically minded and more earthly minded.
So it says they sent priests and Levites.
Right.
So they sent people who were knowledgeable of the scriptures.
And had position within the temple.
And had position. Yeah. So they sent these to John the Baptist and they wanted to know who he was. It's a normal thing for them to be curious about this guy that dresses a little differently and eats weird food. And what
is
he doing?
His presence was a kind of a mystery to them.
Right. He reminds me of someone that you might see standing on the street corner shouting out, you know, the end is near and you need to listen to what I have to say. And we think when we see those kind of people, often they're a little off balance. They're crazy. We might even go so far as to say that about them.
You know, distinctive, though, I would say, between what we would consider a sidewalk prophet versus John the Baptist is that John the Baptist had an established pedigree in a religious tradition and movement that people were aware of. It was mysterious to them because most people didn't spend all their time living in caves out in the desert, but they knew they were there. You know, a sidewalk prophet may, in these days and times, be considered mentally unfit or unstable, and they're right in the middle of the cities. John the Baptist was not hanging out in the cities. He was way out in the desert. So what was it then that was attracting people to go find him? Word had gotten out that something was going on.
Yeah.
I would say that there's a distinctive here. The Spirit of God moving on him was enough of an attractor that it had a magnetism that reached all the way back to the cities to get them to travel all this way out to the Jordan River to see what was going on. And then people are coming back with crazy stories about the kind of deep life transformation that God was doing in their own hearts, the repentance that was coming up in them. So when a movement like that begins, it's the responsibility of the authorities back in Jerusalem to check it out, make sure it's not some sort of doomsday cult, radical and strange, and become a threat to them, their power, their moral authority, and even to the nation under the Romans.
So you're saying that John the Baptist himself was trained in a particular sect?
I'm certain of that.
The Jewish religion.
He wasn't one man unto himself under one tree.
Right. Okay.
He was established and trained and taught, but he was also specially anointed, which is the point of his ministry.
Sure.
Something bigger than just the institutions of man was happening in John the Baptist.
So he knew what they were looking for, though, when they came out and said, "Who are you?" He knew that they're they're thinking, "Oh, he's the Messiah," or, you know, "We want to know that." And so he immediately answers them, "That's not me. I'm not the guy."
And he also says he's not somebody else.
And then they ask him if he's Elijah, which we've read in scripture that Elijah was a great prophet and he did some amazing miracles. He walked with God so closely that God just took him up.
And it was clear even back then that in eschatology that Elijah appears at the end to set the stage again for the Messiah returning. So the idea of the return of the Messiah, Elijah is definitely involved with. Now, in our understanding, Jesus is appearing as the Messiah for the first time.
Okay.
He's not already established. He hasn't already finished his work and then returns to claim his own. So in some ways, I think the understanding of the Jews at the temple at the time was jumping way ahead to the very end.
They were getting ahead of themselves.
Way. And of course, most of us do. We start with just wanting the end to be close. We think about all of the other kinds of evangelical beliefs that want people to reach right for the rapture and think about nothing else but the end of the end times.
Right.
And they don't want to spend life here living that faith because they want the fruit without the work of tending the vineyard.
I remember a pastor saying when I was younger, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good.
And many of us end up that way, unfortunately. Yeah. So we'll try to draw you back into real life for now. I'm not saying that there is an alternate understanding of what eschatology is supposed to mean. All these things are supposed to happen on the way to God establishing himself, not just as Messiah on this earth, but as the Savior and the Redeemer of all mankind, which means everybody ever, and as the sovereign of the universe, known and worshiped by those who can see him. Mm-hmm. Do I believe it's a physical thing? Yeah, I do. I also believe it's very much a spiritual thing that needs to happen right now, before we even see him with our own eyes. So if we are in a generation that does not see the return of Christ, that we still can know the presence of Christ now.
Yeah.
It's not about waiting for something good to happen later. It begins in us and through us now. And we need to be about the business of living that way until he establishes himself in another role or another position of authority that the rest of the world can see as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking a position against anybody's understanding of how the end times will play out.
Yeah.
But we need to live while we're here now. And John's going to help us with that. Friends, for almost 78 years now, Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how he is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of his kingdom wherever it is to be found. In a couple months, I will have been in this chair before this microphone for four of those 78 years. I'm grateful for the opportunity and humbled by the responsibility. I could not have imagined how many momentous changes were hiding right around the corner when I said yes to this job. Even now, I wouldn't change it for the world, but it's also fair to say that it's brought about challenges that have tried the very fabric of my faith. So much has changed and is changing in this world. At the same time, I'm discovering in a deeper way how absolutely consistent God is in times of trial. Here's the challenge before us in 2021. We'll be taking on bigger, more ambitious, more important projects than we have ever done before, bringing the compassion of Christ into the very center of the world's greatest conflicts. To get there, we need to raise some serious support and to do it soon. Once international travel opens back up, we'll need to have raised an additional $100,000 above our current giving in order to go and to give. For 78 years, when we face a challenge like this, we've done two things. One, we ask God what he wants. And two, we tell our friends what we need. Today, we're doing both. God is opening doors to see what he's doing in currently closed countries and to join that work. I'm saying yes. And now I'm sharing the specific need with you so you can say yes, too. And there are still thousands of Bibles we still need to send through our friends at Bibles for the World. It is essential that we raise this new amount of $100,000 this quarter, or we can't proceed with any new outreach and relief programs. So I'll ask you, will you help? Just call today with your first gift. If you can, consider making it monthly. I'll be glad to send you a brand new Amazon Echo Dot or Google Home Mini so you can follow our progress each day and hear the Compassion Radio broadcast whenever is the best time for you. Call us. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. If you're on the move right now, you can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to make your gift immediately. God bless you and your growing faith in 2021. And now back to our new discussion on the book of John in our Dynamic Gospel Chasing the Word series. Well, honey, in the last segment we talked about the position that we are in, you and I, and Compassion Radio, as being the encourager of the work of God in the now. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we're not trying to peddle ourselves down the middle here and just be soft about it. We have very firm beliefs about how God goes about his work. But I cannot tell you with any true certainty that I know exactly how he's going to work out his work that he does his way without my permission.
Oh, sure.
What's important right now is a word, especially through John. So we're going to keep going on that. So what's your last thought on this particular section before we move on to our new translation, honey?
Well, I guess I just like how John the Baptist is really adamant about who he's not.
Exactly.
You know, he just says to them, No, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet mentioned back in Deuteronomy 18. We don't have a name for that prophet, or we don't
remains
really...
remains unnamed, but we know really it's an important person.
Yeah, we don't really know exactly who that is. So John is making sure that they understand, no, this is not who I am. I am, though, a voice crying in the wilderness, and I am making way for the Messiah. Yeah. And he's among you already, but you just don't know him yet. And so I think it's kind of one of those wake-up calls, again, that John is saying, wake up to the Messiah that is already here. Be on the lookout for him, because it's not what you expect at all.
And he's also saying that the message is much more important than the messenger right now. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about human beings leading up to Jesus, that's always the case. In Jesus, it's kind of the reverse. The man is much more important than what we think he's saying to us.
Right.
Because the work he does in relationship to and in response to his Father. Not our needs, mm-hmm. not our desires or our wishes. Along the way, he also expressed his love and his healing nature in mm-hmm. such a way that literally healed and nurtured and saved people mm-hmm. from their misguided notions of what God could be or what he thought of them. But mm-hmm. his mission, what he came to do, was yeah. not dependent upon what we asked him to do.
Right.
It was what God sent him to do. So Jesus the man is far more important than the way we read his intentions or his purpose in this world. He got done what he got done because he intended to do it, whether we get it or not. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to men looking at Jesus, the message is always going to be more important than the person bringing that message. And mm-hmm. I think John does a good job of that. Therefore, I think when they ask him that question, are you Elijah? What he's responding to say to them is something more like, I'm not that Elijah. You know, you're not going to put my name on that and say I'm a resurrected Elijah from sure. the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But, you know, in some ways, he very much is an Elijah. The way he went about proclaiming the truth and breaking through things is very much the spirit of Elijah. Does he have the spirit of the prophets of old? Yes, he does. He has a certain personality, an anointing, which seems to be very much like those judges and prophets in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
He's saying, I'm not those people. I'm just a voice. And the message you need to hear is, there's one coming that's greater than I.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn to the dynamic gospel and read the same scriptures in that version.
In verse 19 of chapter 1 in this new dynamic gospel translation, what did the religious authorities think of all this talk of a coming Savior? Well, they sent their sharpest theologians to John to get a straight answer. Who are you, really? They asked. John didn't ignore the trick question, but he smelled a trap. He told the truth. I am not the Messiah. Okay, then, who are you? They continued. Do you claim to be the returned Elijah? No, not him either, John replied. The prophet mentioned by Moses, then? John said emphatically, no. Exasperated, they pressed one more time. Well then, who are you? We must give a report to our bosses. Just spit it out. John answered in the words of Isaiah, the great prophet. I am just someone on the fringes, shouting to those who bother to listen. Get the debris out of the street. The Lord himself is about to pass this way. I'm doing what the prophet talked about. These inquisitors were fundamentalists, and the answer did not satisfy them. They were hung up on the significance of all kinds of rituals, so they asked him about his practices. If you're not the promised liberator, or Elijah, or the prophet, then why do you bother baptizing anyone? John's answer was simple enough, but it mystified the fundamentalists. I simply baptize with water, but walking among you even now is someone you say you know, but do not. You will see him soon enough, and when you do, it will be obvious that I'm not worthy to even clean his feet. This scene took place at Bethany, the one across the Jordan River, at the place where John had become famous for his baptizing.
He's really setting the stage here.
Absolutely.
He's really pushing some buttons, too, because he's saying, you're saying that you know who this is, that you know the Messiah. You say that you understand all of the prophecies and all the scripture, but you're so far off base that he's walking right here among you and you still haven't even seen him. We see that historically throughout the life of Jesus, the powers that be never saw him and never really got it that Jesus was the Messiah. I think John is warning them ahead of time. I mean, he's so clear here. Just don't miss the Messiah because he's already here among you. you think you know, but just look deeper. Look in a different direction or look with different eyes even.
Spoiler alert, because of what's coming up in next week's program, the you're missing it because he's walking amongst you was a statement of fact, mm-hmm. not just a statement of expectancy.
Right.
John sensed it. And the very next verse, as we'll read next week, starts with the very next day. So I guarantee you, friends, while John is having this battle of wits with those inquisitors, Jesus himself is approaching quickly, not to set the stage, but to take the stage mm-hmm. with John.
Well, and John the Baptist was so in tune with the Spirit. We read about that in other accounts of the gospel, where even in the womb of his mother, he mm-hmm. leapt for joy when Jesus' mother Mary mm-hmm. approached him, because Jesus was then in the womb. So if the Spirit of God was talking to John the Baptist even then, was making him aware that the Messiah was that close to him, even before he was born, I can imagine that as an adult, as a man preparing the way for the Messiah, that the Spirit of God was just on him, talking to him about, he's close, he's coming, yep. you're going to see him soon.
His radar was up.
Yes.
And so begins the big adventure of the two of them. And to close out on this, remember that the Spirit of the living God was obviously on Jesus and on John the Baptist before they were even born. Mm-hmm. Something about their very frame responded to that truth with joy. Mm-hmm. And both of them, the Spirit of the Lord is in them. They have peace. The rest of the world is spinning out of control. Right. And it's about to get very crazy for the people who are in this story. But for Jesus and for John the Baptist, they knew exactly who they were and mm-hmm. the place they were.
Yeah.
Oh, to be like them. Mm-hmm. Not that what they went through was easy by any means. They both died ugly deaths.
Right.
And yet, they knew exactly who they were, and they had no concern for their own safety or well-being because they were so secure in their Father's love. Mm. And no matter what you're going through right now, that same truth and opportunity is there for us. We can step into it, not by any work we do or trying to prove anything to God, but by accepting the fact that God knows. Yeah. He sees us where we are. He's called us by name. So we can say to him, get on with it. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I do choose to trust you. Help me in my unbelief.
Yeah.
Where I'm weak in believing, Lord, please step in and be strength for me when I'm weak. Be hope for me when I can't hope. Mm-hmm. But be yourself. I think it's a great way to end this particular program and give you hope that next week's going to bring even more excitement as John the Baptist and Jesus jump up to the front. Thanks so much for joining us on this week's Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word series on the Book of John. The Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns. A music but its own. Wake my soul and sing of him who died for me. And hail the matchless king through all eternity. Yeah. A crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power has helped us away. Pole to pole that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no wind, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend, the fragrance of the sweet, yeah, ever sweet. Crowning the many, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns. A music but his own. Oh. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for me. And hail the matchless king through all eternity. Crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime.
for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
Today, friends, and let us know you're standing with us in 2021. 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. And we're on the web 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. It's time, friends, to join us for some great adventures in faith this year. We've got some great gifts as a thank you for joining us in this adventure. Just ask about them when you call. We'll see you tomorrow.